husband had walked away and stopped going to church for almost a year. At one point, God said, Amy, thank you for stepping back because your husband can hear me now over you. And he has been coming faithfully every week.
Isn't it amazing how sometimes the little small things, seemingly small things that we do, it change in our behavior, our attitude, our words, make the most significant difference and become a big thing in a positive way in our marriage. Dr. Randy here, along with Jennifer and Stephen, our team here at Intentional Living, and our operators at our center taking calls for the year-end gifts. Thank you for that as well. As we're moving quickly toward the end of 2024, can't believe it. We want to pick up on a topic from last week. We talked about this power of the small things. I got thinking about this coming into the studio, how in life it's the small things that make the biggest difference. The small things that can make the biggest difference. And not only in a positive way, but in a negative way. Some of you today, if you're being honest, you look back at your marriage, maybe the marriage that failed, you're divorced, that marriage failed. You look back and you think early on in that marriage, there was a seed of some small things that started that eventually become a major issue in our marriage. Disrespect, unkind words, not resolving problems together, not taking time to say, hey, the faith of my spouse is important to him or her, and I want to support them in it. And it became a point of contention in the relationship. Or we're not on the same page about some of the small things even in disciplining the kids. And what happens is small things have a tendency to become big things, like a cancer cell that you cannot see unless you look under a microscope in the body can continue to grow until it could take your life. And that's true many times in both positive and negative ways in our life. Why we focus so much on the power of one thing, we call that one thing, it's the small things, is because we know that the small things add up to become the major things in a marriage. If we're willing to speak kindness, be respectful, continue to be faithful, do the next right one thing, invest in understanding the love language of our spouse, investing in their life, it can make a huge difference. All right, small things. Love to hear your story on our storyline. 888-888-1717. Tony's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. Thank you for your call. What's some small things that are making a difference in your marriage?
Well, it happened a long time ago. Me and my wife, we've been together for 43 years, and we've been married for 41. And early on in the marriage, we had our ups and downs, and I kept going, God, give me something that will change not just my heart, but my mind, my thought process. And I was speaking to a pastor friend of mine, and this is what he told me. He says, Tony, do you have a daughter? And I said, yes, I do. And he says, well, if somebody disrespected your daughter, what would you do? And I thought about, I'd get mad. I can't tell you exactly what I would do, but I'd definitely get mad. And he says, well, God gave you his daughter. So I've realized that God gave me his daughter. My wife is God's daughter, and he gave her to me. And so that means I have to love her, and I have to be, every marriage is not perfect, but I did learn that every single morning when I leave for work, I give her a kiss and I tell her I love her. When I talk to her on the telephone, I tell her, I end the call by saying, I love you. She does the same to me, but it's because I understood that God gave me his daughter. Amen. As my wife.
You know, that's powerful, Tony. It just hit a part of my brain here that realizing if we start to see our spouse, not just as our spouse, as this person, but as a spiritual being, you know, they're a creation of God. They're going to exist forever. For all of eternity. And we have the opportunity just in the sequence of the time of history to be on the earth at the same time, of similar age perhaps, and to be together and be in this relationship as two, not only human beings, but spiritual beings, and to know Christ. That's one of the reasons it's so powerful that we be united first and foremost around our spiritual commitment to the Lord Jesus. And then these other things tend to fall into place. What a great reminder, Tony. I appreciate it. We're talking about the small things in marriage today. Let's go to Bonnie next, also in Arizona. What's your one thing, Bonnie?
You know, about a year and a half ago, my husband and I started the practice of every morning before he goes to work or on weekends before we get going with our day, sitting down across from each other. And first we share three things that we're grateful for. Then we also share two things that we appreciate about the other person. And then we do one thing that we think is a strength in our marriage or that we appreciate about our marriage. And that's just made a world of difference, kind of making things more positive where they were negative before and just kind of giving us some fuel for the day. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Now, what prompted you all to do that?
Well, you know, being grateful is really an important part. I'd had a practice of doing that and writing down grateful things. But we'd had some marriage classes at church, and they talked about, you know, expressing gratitude. But we just found that this simple little formula for us, 3-2-1, you know, three things we're grateful for, two things we like about you, one thing we really like about our marriage, just seemed to work. And so that's what we've been doing.
That's great. Hey, listen, if it's working, keep doing it. That's what makes marriage work. I've had the advantage and disadvantage, I suppose, at times because of the kind of work we do, working with couples and counseling and conferences, to be in the presence of a couple and see them dissolve into the point where their marriage is gone. And yet I shake my head and my heart hurts because I know that it would only have taken maybe some few things that could have made a difference 6 months ago, 5 years ago. Instead of waiting until we're in that point where it's a crisis, to start investing in our life, in our marriage. You know, think about this small thing. You go to your doctor and he or she'll tell you, do this with your diet or exercise. One of the things we do is a small thing. My wife and I, we get up every morning and we go for a walk. I don't know if we miss, you know, a couple days out of a month, but every day we're up walking a couple miles. Does a couple things for us. It's good health. Doctor says we got to keep those legs moving, right? But also gives us a chance to talk about the day, about our life, about things. Sometimes it's more quiet. Sometimes we're more verbal, but we're together. And that's a small thing, you know, spending 45 minutes going for a walk every morning. But, you know, it's cumulative. There's a cumulative effect, not only in finance, in compounding interest, but there's a cumulative effect in compounding interest in your marriage when you choose to do the next right one thing. You know, that's the power of this whole thing. All right. Very good. Thank you, Bonnie. Let me see here. Let's go to Javier in Michigan. What is God teaching you about these small things in marriage, Javier?
Well, when I first became a Christian, you know, I knew I was forgiven, but then, you know, reading through scripture, I read that it said that, you know, if I'm forgiven, God forgives us, but he won't forgive us unless we forgive as well. So what I did is I was divorced for many years. So I thought, you know, I'm going to call my ex-wife and tell her I forgive her. And then I thought to myself, well, yeah, she's going to say, well, you forgive me, but I don't forgive you. So I said, you know, I'm going to call her and ask her to forgive me. And wow, it was like night and day. It's just our relationship has been so much better, so much fulfilling, so much more friendlier. The anointing has been so much greater. I mean, I can't say enough about not only forgiving, but asking for forgiveness.
Amen. Well, God prompted that in your life, and boy, that was a good decision. You know, not to say, hey, I want to have you ask for forgiveness, but to take responsibility, the first step in intentional living and asking for forgiveness. How is your life different today, Javier, than it was before?
It's much more fulfilling, of course. She and I get along very well. We never got along badly, but we're like buddies. We're like friends. You know, we talk on a regular basis. It's friendly. It's just so much nicer to be able to communicate on a friendly basis rather than, you know.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I take the letters F-R-E-E for free, and I've really designated these in this acrostic as the four things that I think are essential in living our lives intentionally. And first of all, for the first letter, the letter F, is to focus on the right goals. The Bible says, without a vision, the people will cast off restraint. And if we don't have the right goals for our lives, we're going to be following whatever the whims and will are of the culture in which we live. But when we get back to living intentionally and saying, my goal is what? To honor Christ with everything that I have, to completely submit to Him and make decisions based on that value, based on that star, that North Star, then I'm focusing on goals that make a difference in life. Sharpening the edge, that's the featured lesson for December this month, wrapping up the year. And members, thank you for making it possible to get these teachings done, get them up online and share with people all around the world. You are praying for us and you are supporting the ministry. We're listener supported. We don't borrow money, by the way, to operate. Comes in, we use it, go back out, gets the radio program, the podcast, the events, everything that we're doing. We're part of Intentional Life Media, our radio network. Many of you are supporting that. Thank you for doing that. But Intentional Living, to help us close out this year strong, your faithful, generous gift is so appreciated. Being matched dollar for dollar from some friends of the ministry. Plus, as you give your most generous gift, we're making sure you'll receive the brand new 2025 Year of Jubilee calendar from Intentional Living. It's beautiful. And by the way, if you do it earlier here, we can get this in the mail a little quicker. Perhaps you can get started, get that calendar before the end of the year, before the end of this year. As you call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, you can talk to our staff, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. And I just want to say on behalf of our team here, God bless you. Thank you for supporting us.
Hi, my name's Hannah, and I was calling to comment on the friendships of opposite sex. I've been married for only 5 years, but me and my husband, in order to make things work, have always made sure that the other one knows who we're hanging out with, what we're doing, and all of that. And any friend that I have of the opposite sex also knows that anything they say or do to me is going to be told to my husband. We don't have secrets about our friendships of the opposite sex because I believe that would lead us way too vulnerable. And another thing is when we're talking about the relationships that we have with people, either of us can say at any point if we feel like we see or hear something going on that our significant other is missing, we can say, I don't think this friendship is healthy. And we just have the veto power to say, I would like you to end that friendship. And we always have honored and respected that because as a spouse, our relationship comes first to each other.
Boy, that's a lot of wisdom right there. That's great. All right, team here, Jennifer and Stephen. Don't go too far, Stephen. I see you wandering off there. Confession time, our own marriages. We're thinking about the small things that make a big difference in our marriage. Start with you, Jennifer. What have you thought about it? What about for you guys?
I have, and it was something that you had said similar to today's show. And I thought, geez, what am I doing and what can I do? So I really thought about it. And for me, it was just saying, I appreciate what you're doing and actually taking the time to notice it. So one thing that my husband does, he gets up for work before I do, and he actually will make his lunch. And then he started making my lunch. And I didn't need him to do that. He just started doing it on his own. But I started acknowledging and saying, thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it. And he also takes out the trash pretty consistently. We both do it, but he more than I. And so just telling him, I really appreciate that you're doing that for us. It really helps out. I mean, it made a world of difference. So
appreciation is huge.
It's funny to see, like you're saying, just the little things. They really do mean a lot.
And you don't have to say, hey, honey, the trash is stinking up in the garage. All right, Stephen, what about you, my friend?
Well, I too learned something from you. So, you know, so just be calm and humble there, Randy. But what I've learned was, when she starts talking to me, to turn and look at her. You know, we may be, we could be reading two different things. We could be watching TV, but she turns or she says something. And if we're watching TV, I put it on pause and I turn and I look at her. So that's one thing. The one thing I need to work on is when I know that she's going to say, I don't care, I need to head that off at the pass. Yeah. You know, for instance, can I make you some dinner? You know, because sometimes she'll just say, I don't care, you know. And what I need to do is just make her some dinner and or whatever is the next thing on the agenda and just include her in that. And I'm not very good at that, but I need to get better at that is to head off the I don't care comment.
All right. Well, we'll check back with you and see how you're doing on that. All right. Hold you accountable, Mr. Stephen. All right, talking about the small things. Love hearing from you. Listen, we are all in this journey together. That's why these stories that we share are so important and so powerful. So let's get moving on here. Debbie, I think over in Texas, what's one thing that you're working on your marriage?
Something that I've done that's really made a huge difference in my marriage. You know, these women, we have several women's groups at our church, and we get together and women talk about their husbands and what they let them do or not do and how they're helped or not helped. And there were some women talking about how they never let their husbands help make the bed because they didn't do it right. And it occurred to me that their right and their husband's right may not be the same. And I was blessed by the fact that ever since day one, my husband and I getting married, he's helped make the bed. Like, that's something he's done. He doesn't necessarily do it the way I do it, but he does it the way he likes it. And so when he makes the bed, I don't go back and change it. I don't tell him he's not doing it right. I let him do it his way. And since the beginning, since I've let him do those things and thank him for doing things that way, God showed me that if I let him help me hit the way he helps and don't criticize or don't change what he's doing, then he helps me in all areas. Like, I get help.
That's right.
In every aspect of the home. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so it just really brought to memory that. And I shared that with my ladies when they were talking about, well, my husband, he doesn't put the pillows on the bed the way he's supposed to. And I'm like, what says that there's a particular way they have to go on the bed? How come your way is right and their way is not right? You know, and so as a group we're all working harder. We're all working harder at letting our husbands help their way, and there's less complaining about not getting any help and more time for the fellowship that we have with our relationship.
That's right. Let's move on from that discussion to how you put the toilet paper on the toilet paper roll. Now, that I've been out enough conferences and asked this question, so I got survey results that many of you have told me that there's a certain way it's supposed to happen on the over the top and not down below. And then I asked the question, how many of you have been at a friend's house, family member's house, been in the bathroom, door closed, and they haven't put it on the roll correctly, and you've turned it around? Hello. I said there's a support group for that, I think, somewhere. All right. Let's move on. Annette, you're next in Michigan. What's a small thing, maybe a big thing, going on in your marriage?
Yes, sir. The Lord has really taught me a lot through forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, not only on my life, but for others. And I've learned that the power of forgiveness isn't really for that person. It's for me, you know, and that my husband was unfaithful about 20 years ago. The Lord let me know that I was going to stay with him. So that was brutal. And for counseling, we went to counseling for, like, it was a 5-year ordeal. And we had kids involved and all of that. And I was like, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know. But I had to, you know, get over the fact that I was mad at God. about all of it. And I was a Christian then too, because I'm a 28-year-old Christian. So, yeah, I've just learned I had to forgive myself. I had to, like, let God off the hook because I was mad at him. You know, mm-hmm. How could you do this? How could you do that? How? You know, and then finally I realized I have to see something. God was showing me something, and I had to see something, and that I wanted to see it quickly so I could get through it.
Yeah. You didn't want to go through the pain. You wanted to know how to get around all this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And the pain was anguish. Do you regret that?
I mean, obviously having to go through it, but do you regret that you made a decision to stay?
Yes, I did at one time. I did. I really did. And that was where I was going to. I went to my pastor at the time and I said, look, I can't do this anymore. And he was like, okay, well, you need to give him an ultimatum. And I said, okay. So I followed through, did an ultimatum with him, with my husband. And I said, I am not joking. This is it for me. I'm really done. And I was already putting things in place. Like, you know, I got a job and I started doing things like that and getting myself in place just in case it didn't work out and I wasn't going to be left without.
So your husband decided at that moment, enough. I want this marriage. I want Annette. I want this to work. And he's changed?
Yes, he did. He really did. And I think he thought I meant business. You know, I was like, no, I'm done. You see my face. You know, I'm really done here. So, you know, one time we went to counseling and it was very interesting because we always went to Christian counselors and I learned about my abandonment fears.
Mm.
And that was just impacting to my life because I had, like I said, I've dealt with a lot of forgiveness, but I've only dealt with forgiveness while being a Christian. Because when I wasn't a Christian, forgiveness was not even in my vocabulary.
Mm.
So then I learned about my fears of abandonment because my mother had left us at a young age. And that just probably rippled. It was not my fault for the affair. I know that. But God was working on me instead of me working on my husband, you know, during all this.
Take a look at your life. Do you have areas where you're not making progress or feeling stuck? Maybe you keep returning to bad relationships or habits that aren't helping you grow. In his message, Sharpen Your Edge, Dr. Randy talks about some wise words from Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Here's the universal principle that Solomon is sharing with us. Successful people keep their edges sharp, and unsuccessful people don't.
If you missed your chance to give during our year-end fundraiser, don't worry. You can give now and have your gift matched and doubled by generous friends of the ministry. When you give, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. Don't miss this opportunity to have your gift matched. Your monthly support helps people live an intentional life in Christ. Call 888-888-1717 now or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're part of a very important and special group of people across the country who have said they want to be a part of this intentional living message, this movement of impacting people, not only to come to Christ, but then to live intentionally, to see marriages saved, families held together, young people continuing to be in their home where they can hear about Jesus. And you're making it possible for us to do this as we close out 2024. Your gifts are making a big difference. And I'd love to be able to get to December 31st and say, the bills are paid, everything is on course, and you make it possible. And I'm not asking you to do what we don't do. We're involved in the ministry as well. We support actively and intentionally and sacrificially because we believe in it here at the team, on the team. And so thank you for your support. Join us. You can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, my name is Charlie from Phoenix, Arizona. My first marriage was a really bad thing. I didn't show love or affection properly. I didn't value my wife. And I think affection should have a manifestation of, you know, value. I didn't value my wife, but even with little things, you know, buying flowers, taking her out, you know, he's using the excuse, you know, we don't have enough money. But when it came time to getting things I wanted, I always had enough money. So I didn't realize the failure of those things until long afterwards. My second wife has passed away, but our marriage was great. We valued each other. I deliberately showed affection in as many ways. I learned my wife's love language. Her favorite thing to get as a gift was flowers, and I showered her with flowers year-round. So creating a great environment for that love, it was amazing, the difference. But showing love is gotta be, you know, it's a major part of life.
Amen. Hey, you know what? I think quickly we have time to hear from Brett from New Mexico. I think you got a powerful message for us, my friend. What are you learning about marriage?
You know, me and my wife, we're going on 10 years now, and we've had our ups and downs. But, you know, we went through our pastor and marriage counseling, and after the last 2 years of using selflessness, our marriage is really, man, I can't even describe how awesome it's become. It's a blessing.
Now, how does that actually play out in your marriage when you're selfless? How do you do that?
Putting your spouse's needs before your wants, you know, or their wants above your wants. Kind of like when the kids are running around being crazy and, you know, you just want to sit down, relax, you know, your spouse has had a rough day at work. And instead of you sitting back and relaxing, you know, you take the time to take care of the kids so they can have a break. In the morning, sometimes I don't feel like cooking breakfast, but I know she's not in a good mood or she's not feeling well. I'll go and cook breakfast, or vice versa. Some days I'm not feeling good, and or I've had a hard day at work, and my wife, she'll cook dinner, or she'll take care of the kids and give me a little bit of a break. And that's just how we've learned to, our communication has gotten so much better. I used to really lack in that, but I'm telling you, being selfless has really helped our marriage and our communication.
All right, what's one thing you're taking away from the show today? If you missed the first part, by the way, from last week, you can find it in our archive section at our website. What small thing could you do in the next 30 days that might save a marriage, yours, or encourage your marriage at least? And that not only for your spouse, but what about your kids, your family, other things? What's one small thing that make the biggest difference? Love to hear what it is. I'm Dr. Randy. We got to run. Thank you for being a part of the show. Love you guys. Thanks for your prayer and support. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.